VolitionRx, a multinational epigenetics company revolutionizing cancer diagnosis with the development of simple, easy-to-use, cost-effective blood tests involving a range of cancers and other diseases. Volition's clinical trials in human health have shown promising results in detecting several cancer types, including colorectal, lung, and a variety of bloodborne cancers. VolitionRx. Web address, volition.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Bill Raggio, senior fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He keeps the Long War Journal. And our colleague, Hussein Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, now at the Hudson Institute, to comment on the breaking news in Pakistan. Our story so far, Imran Khan, the head of his own political party, Tehreek-e-Insaf, is under pressure to stand for review by the legislature, a no-confidence vote. However, that no-confidence vote expected last week has been delayed, and the decision to hold it has been passed on to the Supreme Court of Pakistan. These events are all taking place in the capital, Islamabad. As of this moment, the Supreme Court has not moved and may move presently or not at all, calling into question the politics in Pakistan and whether it's adhering to the Constitution or not. Now, the opposition are very popular parties who've ruled or had great say in Pakistan for many years, the Pakistan People's Party and the Pakistan Muslim League. And, however, right now, everything is frozen. At the same time, it's informed by the fact that members of the ruling party, Tehreek-e-Insaf, find credibility in the explanation of Imran Khan, the former sports hero turned prime minister, that this is a conspiracy launched by the outsiders, foreigners. I believe America is mentioned along with everyone else. Hussein, I hope I have not shortcut anything to explain this is a constitutional crisis. A very good day to you. What is the expectation in Islamabad? Can this be resolved by the Supreme Court? Good day.
Good day. I don't know if it will be resolved by the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court could easily uphold the actions of Imran Khan, which are blatantly unconstitutional, based on the view of almost every legal expert in Pakistan. The Constitution says very explicitly that the Prime Minister cannot dissolve Parliament if a vote of no confidence is pending against him. Imran Khan did just that. His argument was that the vote of no confidence is illegitimate because it is backed by the United States, without any evidence, without any trial, without any judgment. So that in itself is prima facie totally unconstitutional. But we must remember Pakistan's Supreme Court has given many rulings in its history that the rest of the world has scratched its head and said, oh, that has no basis in law, constitution, or legal theory. So we really do not know what will happen. What might be happening right now is several people, influential people, political leaders, military men, judges, former judges are huddling in various places and figuring out what to do. Those who support Imran Khan want to save his face because he has always argued, I am the kind of guy who, to use a cricket term, plays to the last ball. So he is not the kind of guy who will resign just because he loses a majority in parliament. And the opposition has shown that it has an absolute majority in parliament. And the absolute majority is not based on any buying and selling of votes or defection. Simply, the coalition that Imran Khan had put together to form a government has frayed. Junior coalition partners have left. That happens in many countries. In any other country, the prime minister would step down, new elections would be called, life would go on. Not in Pakistan. Nothing happens in Pakistan without high drama.
This is high drama. This is a nation, I remind everyone, of 220 million. In addition, it is a nation that has been critical in the maintaining of order in Afghanistan until last summer when the U.S. and NATO left the region. And now we witness what appears to be political turmoil driven by, well, one recommendation from, this is the BBC reporting from the narrative of the popular newspaper Dawn, that this is an attempt to burn down democratically empowered parties by one particular man. Bill, you have a question for our colleague Hussein.
Hussein, yes. What are the odds that Pakistan's military gets involved with this? We all know that Pakistan's military has inserted itself into politics in the past. Is it more advantageous for this to just burn as it is and let the political parties weaken themselves with this fight? Or which is my view on that? Or do you think Pakistan's military will step in to deal with this constitutional crisis?
But eventually, the Pakistani military always steps in. Their stakes are too high. It's the institution in the country that is seen as keeping the country together. We must remember Pakistan has multiple regions. Some of those regions have been independent in history. The only thing that brought them all together was British rule. And after British rule, the fact that these are the Muslim parts of what was then the British Raj, the northwest part of the British Raj. So, and we must remember that it's not like there was a Pakistan in history that has been recreated. Pakistan was created out of whole cloth, cut out of whole cloth. It is, its name is an acronym. So all of those factors being there, the military usually keeps the country together. So goes the theory. The problem is, the military, when it gets into politics, does not always, first of all, whenever anybody gets into politics, they always have some opposition. Somebody will disagree with them. They don't like disagreement. So in the last few years, they were very deeply involved. They were the ones who brought Imran Khan to office. They made him, it made it possible for him to win by making many politicians join his party. He had been in politics since 1997, never managed to win any seats in parliament. And then when the military started putting its weight behind him, he started winning seats because people who had local popularity started joining his party, leaving other parties. That said, recently the military has said, in this particular conflict, we are neutral. Well, their neutrality is being attacked by Imran Khan and his supporters as working against the interests of the country, because the Imran Khan supporters say, hey, America is trying to topple this government because it's a patriotic government. Why isn't the most patriotic institution, the military, getting involved? So they are already under pressure from Imran Khan supporters. At some point, the opposition will say, hey, Imran Khan is not using the constitution rightly. It is he's blatantly violating the constitution. He has some judges in his pocket, and therefore those judges are just winking and nodding. For example, just this bench that has been created, one of the very unusual things in Pakistan's Supreme Court is that it has many, many judges, but only the Chief Justice gets to decide whether three judges will decide a case or five or 10 or 12 or all of them. That's a very strange process that gives the Chief Justice enormous power. And many Chief Justices in the past have abused it. So this Chief Justice has created a bench of just five judges. Now, if three of those five judges end up being pro-Imran Khan, it's very unfair to the opposition because there are other judges who probably would have ruled otherwise. So there could be a constitutional standoff in which the Supreme Court's judgment is seen as partisan. Opposition doesn't like it, or Imran Khan doesn't like it. And that's the moment when the army marches in. The army usually has many ways of influencing politics, including being the chief whisperer in Pakistan in the ears of almost everyone, politicians, journalists, judges. And that role has not ended.
Hussein, the BBC again reporting, what is driving this? The BBC's suggestion is the cost of living. In other words, inflation. We're all living with that. At the same time, there seems to be a paradox here. Imran Khan is said to be very popular. So standing for a new election would favor him, wouldn't it?
Well, it depends on who defines what's popular. Even in the last election, he only got one third of the vote. The reason why the other parties didn't win was because they were running against each other. If they make a joint front, he is in trouble. He can be popular with 25-30% of the people, but he never had an absolute majority. He is unlikely to have it now. He has a strong support base. Former military men support him because they like his machismo. They like the fact that he speaks out against India, talks about liberating Kashmir, talks about Pakistan as this great Islamic power that has just waiting to reach its potential and is willing to confront, quote unquote, the evil of the West. Now, that's where Hugo Chavez, he blames America for everything, says that America is the evil. Remember Chavez going to the United Nations and pretending he was smelling sulfur because the devil was there, because the American president was in the audience, stuff like that. So he does a lot of gimmickry that is popular in a section of the population. But here are the other realities. Pakistan's GDP per capita has actually fallen under Imran Khan. That's the first time it has happened in years. The inflation figures are so high, they are much, much higher than the global average. The Pakistani rupee has plummeted and it has tanked to unbelievable levels. It was at 120, 30, something like that. When he took over, it's at 186 to the rupees to the dollar now. The Pakistani stock market has still not reached the level that it had in 2017 because it has been falling. It has risen a bit, then fallen again under Imran Khan. So by all economic indicators, he has been an utter disaster. Now, are there people who will vote their sentiment, their anti-America sentiment, their anti-India sentiment, their Islamist sentiment? Yes, there are. How many? A lot of people do in the end vote their pocketbook, and the pocketbook does not favor Imran Khan.
One more question, Bill. We have time. Go ahead.
Hussein, how does the political turmoil inside of Pakistan impact the Taliban and the situation in Afghanistan? Is it beneficial to the Taliban or is it detrimental?
Well, the Taliban would like Pakistan to be the instrument of getting them international recognition. Now, if Pakistan is itself in turmoil and is on warpath with the Western countries, then its effectiveness in getting recognition for the Taliban from the Western countries is going to be limited. So to that extent, the Taliban certainly wouldn't like the turmoil. They do like Imran Khan, whose nickname has been Taliban Khan because of his consistent support for the Taliban, but they certainly don't like the turmoil.
Puzzle one more time about this claim that he's being driven from office by America. Does that have any basis in fact? Has America contributed to this disorder by acting? I mean, they left Afghanistan. Is that the threat?
John. Leaving Afghanistan, America leaving Afghanistan is something Imran Khan wanted. It's something Pakistan wanted. So that's not the cause. Imran Khan claims that the Assistant Secretary of State, while meeting the Pakistani ambassador in the United States, said or threatened that America will not have much to do with Pakistan while Imran Khan is in office. Now, that is, to me, a comment rather than a threat, number one. Number two, it does not say that we will mobilize a vote of no confidence. There is no evidence of the opposition meeting Americans. The fact of the matter is that I live in Washington, D.C., and I deal with a lot of American officials. And the general consensus seems to be that America is no longer as interested in Pakistan. The Pakistanis are actually trying very hard. Imran Khan's government has hired lobbyists to try and get some attention from Washington, D.C. And the fact of the matter is that that lack of attention means that when somebody is not paying any attention, then that includes not wanting to topple a government there. Lastly, when was the last time America warned another country at a lunch and the warning was delivered by the assistant secretary, hey guys, don't worry, we are about to do regime change in your country secretly? It doesn't work that way. This is just a conspiracy theory. He's waving a piece of paper saying, I have evidence. And that evidence is essentially the cable from the Pakistani ambassador in Washington, D.C. to the Foreign Office in Islamabad, telling them about their conversation with an American official. All pretty routine. But there are people in Pakistan who don't want to admit that Pakistan is no longer as important to America as it used to be during the Cold War, during the war against the Soviets, and even while the Americans were in Afghanistan. They just don't want to acknowledge it. Congress just approved the budget for the budget allocations, and there's only $150 million allocated for Pakistan. Consider that. This is a country that used to receive several billion dollars in assistance and military aid. So American interest in Pakistan is not really what it used to be. I want it to be higher, but it isn't. And so therefore, an American conspiracy against anybody in Pakistan right now is just implausible.
Hussain Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States. Bill Rojo of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. When we come back, Shabab of Somalia and ISIS of Mali. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.